Bye, guy, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra with Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. As we said last night, we're in challenging and critical and challenging times. And the question is not what they're doing, is what are we doing in preparation? And are we conscious enough to know that the things they're doing are directly and indirectly affecting us as a people? So when we talk about the tariffs and the 120 something tariffs on China and 10, 15% on people, all the other countries to 25%. How does that affect us economically? Second, this concept of various methodologies in which the Trump administration is deporting people, and he's talking about building more prisons. But, you know, in the King Alfred plan, I don't know if Ernest remembers that, it's a long time ago. King Alfred came out in the 60s about the possibility of just turning schools into concentration camps and putting people there and things of this nature. Now, most of our people don't think none of these things are going to happen. They see themselves as Americans and they ain't talking about them or to them. But it's best to be prepared in case things go wild. So what are some of the things we should do? I'm going to suggest some things, and then I want to go around and see what y'all think about it. First of all, we got to educate ourselves and educate our family members as much as we can. Many of them are not into politics, not into world affairs, not into all the wars that's going on. They just, you know, trying to get their hair done and trying to get, you know, some tattoos put on, or trying to just, you know, where's the fast food place, you know, and like nothing else is going on in the world that is a threat to them. And for us that are conscious, we know that, as Malcolm said, the battle line is everywhere when it comes to Black people in America. Everywhere there's a battle line, there's a struggle. So I'm suggesting that we begin to have family meetings, call people together, and in a friendly and well-structured form, begin to discuss, are we prepared for food shortages? Are we prepared for essential? Should we be saving money? Cash, should we get passports and things of this nature? So these are some of the things that I suggest that we have to start thinking about. And the first thing to do is going to be very difficult, is to get many of our people to focus on this. This is serious. If they're committing genocide on the Palestinians and talking about taking over their whole country, and with America help and America involvement and acting on behalf of America, that's because, remember, Trump, that was his first vision, turning Gaza into a resort. So he got a lot of pushback on that. So what he do? He tell Israel, go ahead and do it. Do it for us. You understand? And we'll give you the weapons. And we won't even criticize you, and we will arrest people who criticize you, call them pro-Palestinian and things of this nature, and restrict demonstrations on college campuses, and doing all kinds of things to appeal or destroy the efforts of people to try to raise the issue of Israel's genocide against the Palestinians, which is very critical. But most people don't even want to, you know, they're not thinking about that. But so anyway, we go, so that, why did I bring that up? Because that could happen to us. I mean, I don't, if they can put you in the Holocaust of enslavement, our ancestors, for over 100 and something years, and then put you through reconstruction and sharecropping and manumissions and discrimination, and then say that there's no race problems in America. You understand? These people are very, very strange people. You understand? So what I'm saying, one, is we have to educate ourselves. Education is very important. That means sit around and discuss possibilities. I'm not trying to create a paranoia situation among your family members, but you're just trying to wake them up to what's going on. That there's a possibility that we're going to have to begin to do one thing from an economic standpoint, be more buy essential things instead of just what you want. Don't waste money at this critical time until things become stable. Get non-perishable type of groceries, store them, find, see if you can get a freezer, if you're a meat eater, and see if you can get a lot of rice and pasta in a secure place and plenty of water. That's very important. We should do that anyway, but at the same time, it's more compelling right now than. Second thing, that from the standpoint of managing our economics and changing our way of spending, and to the point is to try to get some emergency money. And that means putting some cash away and not touching it. And I'm not saying put it in the bank. Get an iron safe, fireproof safe, and keep some cash around. The two things that you can spend, no matter what, is gold and cash. You understand? People, and if they shut down the credit cards, see, recession is just another word for depression. Now, the depression is not going to be the same as the ones in the back in the 20s and stuff like that, because you have different, the country has grown, and they have all type of situations. Even though you see people going to food banks right now, lining up getting free food, and you see people panhandling all over the place. And you see an enormous amount of homelessness. I used to tell my kids when I take them to school, you ride, but you see these people that's on bus stops and these people walking. Just appreciate that. But, don't feel bad. I don't feel privileged. Just want the best for other people. But the point is that we have to start thinking from a military perspective. As men, especially us as men, and women, single women, or women that's heads of families, households, you have to begin to think about the best cure to any problem is the prevention, and it's best to be prepared than to not be prepared. As they say, it's best to have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it. So, getting perishable items, saving your money as much as you can, and have a reasonable amount of money on. It's like get your passport. That's very important in case you have to leave this country, or you may need your passport to enter another country. So you got to begin to look for places that you may have to escape to, and lifestyles that you may have to go to if things go fully awry. Let's say, for instance, if the country just the police just say I'm through, I'm going home to protect my family. The fire department say I'm going home to protect my family, and the military and say that they're going home to protect their family. You don't have nobody to protect you to come and help you. You have to be prepared to help yourself. And so I'm just raising this issue of that one, as I said. Begin to buy essential things, save money, and then get some protection apparatus. If it's bear spray, if you don't want no guns, if it's they got some type of weapons with rubber bullets and things of this nature you can buy online, and other type of weaponry, you know, archery, something to defend yourself, and defend your home. Because if things go bad, people are going to start attacking each other. You know, it'd be neighbor against neighbor down there, you know, for survival. The camouflage and the cobwebs of America is if none of these things could happen to America. But you see it's happening if you look and you study and you see the declines in America, political system, justice system, in all three parts of the government. You got the executive branch that is going into a totalitarian perspective. You got the congressional or the legislative branch that's aiding him in that effort, or aiding the current administration. You got the Supreme Court that says he's immune to anything. You understand? He can even kill one of them. You understand? How you pass a law saying you got immune? All you have to say is it was your executive, within your executive actions, and you shoot a Supreme Court justice, just like they said, could you shoot another person? So you never know. I don't think people realize the psychiatry. We call it democratic insanity. Democratic insanity means that if everybody vote for it, it's okay, no matter how wild it is. And what you have here is political insanity that's going on right before your eyes. And you come turn on the news to see what else crazy this man's gonna say. What else crazy the country's gonna do? You understand? And you think that it excludes you. But, you know, once they consume all the things from without, they start consuming from within. And we taught this back in the 60s. You know, that's what the Panthers came into being. It was Black Panther Party for defense. The Deacons for defense. You understand? Defense against what? Like who? The European, the American white man, the Ku Klux Klan, which were police and judges. You understand? They weren't just no hillbillies with snagger teeth and coverall, putting on sheets. These were the most ministers and affluent people. At night, they put the sheets on. In the day, they put their regular clothes on. And so my point is to you is that we as a people must begin to think more critically about where we are and what we're dealing with and who we're dealing with. It's very important from that standpoint. So I say, one, I'd start thinking about being more fiscal with your money. I mean, there are people going on cruises and just acting like ain't nothing else going on in the world. Ain't no genocide going on in Palestine. Ain't no threats to democracy in America. Ain't no threat to democracy worldwide. Ain't no threat what they're doing to Haiti and what they're doing to Black people around the world. So you got the you know, we are worldly people. And what goes on in the world affects us here. So my point is start being prepared for the unexpected, the unimaginable. And that is not, do that mean stop doing a leisure thing? No, I'm just saying take at least 10 to 15 and maybe 20% of what you're doing toward your maintenance of your defense and your family. From that standpoint, so as I said, just buy essential things. You don't need no $300 sneakers and things. You got to sit down with your kids and tell them, hey, look, there's wars going on. There are different type of frames of war. There's psychological war, there's spiritual war, and there's physical war. And you got to as a people. Begin to understand how serious that is, because the majority of the people don't. They think everything is normal. You understand? And we come on this podcast to educate ourselves, And so we must teach each other, as Rashi Ki say, each one teach one. And I'm just saying, from my standpoint, as a person that's been in struggle since 1965 as a teenager, that I've seen it, been a part of it, battlefield tested, I've demonstrated against the DA, against Signal Hill Police, Long Beach Police, LA Sheriff, LAPD, and demonstrated against the war in Vietnam. So, you know, I was an activist at a young age. And so I've seen the cruelty of this country, what they did in Vietnam with napalm and firebombs and things of this nature. I mean, those that were in the military know. That's why some of them come back with psychological problems. But the point that I'm getting at now is that we have to think clearly, get rid of them cobwebs of confusions and illusions. They put on comedy shows on TV to, you know, to sell products mainly, but to take your mind off of what's going on. They put on action movies, anything to entertain you. And while they're entertaining you, they're robbing you. Half of what Trump is doing is entertainment, but he's robbing the country blind at the same time. You know, those are diversions. When he says something crazy, everybody focus on that. Why, he's robbing the banks and robbing the, him and his sons going around getting billions of dollars. And they ain't going to be here. You understand? They can go anywhere they want to go if this place go up in chaos. But anyway, getting back to my main point, one thing we have to do is begin to start preparing. And maybe y'all have some better ideas, or maybe you don't think we should. So we're going to go ahead. Ahi, how you feel about what I just said? Ahi, are you there? Okay, Mashinda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. Do you think we should begin to think in the idea of preparing for chaos?
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, of course. You know, if you're paying attention to what's going on locally, nationally, globally, you definitely have to have some kind of preparation plan in place. You know, I'm not an extremist in terms of, you know, I wouldn't consider myself a survivalist like some folks do. I'm not at that level. But I will say that my family and, you know, my immediate family, and not just my immediate family, but in-laws and different folks have taken certain measures to begin, you know, some preparation. For instance, you know, we have several gallons of water, you know, always, you know, and that's something that, I mean, we've always kept water in the house, but we're literally stocking up on water. We have a garden. This is our second year. My wife and I have, partaked and started gardening, you know, growing tomatoes and squash and peppers and, you know, various vegetables and things like that, you know. And it's not only therapeutic and relaxing, it's good exercise, but I think it's necessary to know how to grow your own food. You're absolutely right. If some emergency locally or nationally something goes down and the stores close, people take for granted that, you know, that these markets will be open. And you've made a good point about, you know, folks is about trying to, that works at the stores, that owns the stores, you know, people are concerned about their own families, you know. So it's a possibility. I think in America, especially, we've taken for granted, you know, our lifestyle and what, you know, our liberties and things like that. But if we look across, you know, look across the world, look at what's happening in India and Pakistan, you know, I don't think we want that to happen. Those are two nuclear powers. Something jump off like that, and then it's going to involve other countries, you know, eventually, and things like trying to put that out. But you never know where that'll go. So we're living in some volatile, very sensitive, vulnerable times. And so I think it's a good idea to start, at the very least, kind of start paying attention to what's going on and then make preparation, you know. But that's what we're doing is we've been looking to buy more land that may, you know, I was looking at some land probably a few months ago where there's a natural well, you know, water, natural well water. And but it was too far out. We didn't care for the area per se for certain reasons, but we're still looking. And again, just as far as the passport, you know, the real ID, you can't fly without the real ID. They say there's some exceptions right now, grace periods and things like that. But if you're going to jump on any plane traveling, you got to have the real ID, you know, that little star on your license, you know, saying that, you know, you've been vetted. So for flying, and you know, passports are great too. You want to, you know, come and get out the United States for whatever reason, you know, you never know when you got to break camp. So, but I'm in agreement. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not extreme with it, but we've been doing some personal planning, you know. So that's what I have to offer right now.
Okay, let me chime in on that. In order for you to get a real ID, you need a passport. So you need it. I just went to the DMV last week. You need a passport. You need two bills in your name to get a real ID. That's a
No,
fact.
you
That is
well, you
facts
could.
here I went to the DMV.
They
That's what
said
they
you have to have a passport.
told me. I had to have a passport and two forms of two forms of some type of bill where you live. So
Yeah. My
that.
understanding is it's your birth certificate, your Social Security card, your driver's license, and two bills, not a passport. You know, passport will help you, but I'm saying
That's
you
what the
check that
lady
out.
told me. She didn't tell me anything alternative, but I mean that's worth looking into. That's
Noted.
what I was told at the DMV office. All right. I just wanted to add that.
They said birth certificate or I mean that it depends on the DMV you go to because it's so chaotic down there. Some people take simple information like a lot of these immigrants don't have none of that material, and but they're giving them IDs, travel IDs. There are ways. I mean, as long as you got your proof of resident, that's what they say, a proof of resident and
So let's chime in real quick. This is Reggie. I'm on my AI thing here. It says to apply for a real ID in California. So I made it specific, provide a social security number, verify your identity with acceptable identity documents. I don't say what those are. Present acceptable residency documents if you have never had a California driver's license or ID card. Pay the non, blah, 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 blah. Other stuff doesn't. Yeah, and that's all they'll say. Have your photo taken, blah, blah, blah. That's just a quick, I just pulled it up to see what they're saying here. So you have different information. So I'll keep searching while we're talking.
Yeah, and it's good to
Can I
plan.
interject? Can I interject here? Sure.
Yeah.
I'm in Detroit and they didn't ask me for anything except a fee.
There you go. Yeah, you got all these differences based. I did California only.
See, my point is that it's chaotic. What did you shut down all flights? So you got to be prepared with gas in your car all the time. At least able to get at least 200 something miles away, if something get chaotic, that's very critical from that standpoint. Be prepared to get out of here in different ways. To think that they're gonna be flying, and then they can put a curfew. Say nobody can come out after 12 noon. You understand? And put the military out there. I mean, we're not trying to be paranoid and things like that. But we just talking about think about different scenarios and begin to prepare for those different scenarios of case you have to drive and should you have some 25 gallon tank gas cans around in a safe place that don't cause a fly. You remember in the '70s when we used to have to get gas on different days and different license plates and all that type of stuff. People was cutting in line, and I mean, people were fighting, and it was a whole bunch of chaos when the Arabs had the oil boycott. So what if they do that? You understand? You know, I mean, sometimes you can depend on the earth, but you can't depend on people and just man-made human services, because they can shut down at any time. You know, many times you go to the store, damn, they shut, they close. You understand? And what if they're mandatory to close? Or they say, I'm going to take care of my family, or I'm leaving the country and I'm shutting down my business. Now you can break in, people will be breaking in. And that's why I say chaos. But at the same time, you have to think about different strategy. That's why when you meet with your family, it's not just a one-time meeting. It's an educational meeting, just like we're doing right now. And if you can't do it in physical, get a Zoom. Get a Zoom. You understand? Or get one of them party phones where you can talk to everybody. But you got to meet if you want them to be, if they, you know, and if they choose not to participate, that's on them. You understand? I mean, you everybody ain't going to agree with you, and everybody ain't going to participate. But being essential with your spending, especially you as an individual, is very important. You can't waste a lot of money on lottos and casinos and Disneyland and park recreation centers and ball games until things settle down and get a little bit more stable. Because it's unstable right now. That's what the market is saying. We don't know what to do. You heard that on the news. They said we can't plan nothing because we don't know what's going on. And so when they don't know what's going on, we don't know what's going on. And so that's why it's very critical for us to think. Ernest, what do you think about things? You've been a veteran.
Well, I've been thinking about a lot of things you said. When I went and got my ID like in January of 2020, you know, I had to have my birth certificate and then a property bill, you know, tax bill to prove that I'm a resident, and then like a gas, electric bill, and then I think Social Security card. Mm-hmm. So they took those forms of ID here in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. But like these other things you're saying, I've been, because my daughter been pressuring me now to get a passport, Dad, get a passport. Mm-hmm. She lives in Grenoble, France, you know. Said, because the United States is going down, so you're going to have to get out of there. You know, I see, but the problem with me now, I told her, well, my wife's down, you know. So she's sick, bedridden. She's been that way now since 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I got that. So I couldn't get her down there to get her an ID, because she don't mm-hmm. even have her driver's license up to date, because we were unable to, you know, for her to go in person to do it. Mm-hmm. So I say, so I'm kind of stuck.
Maybe you can get a California state ID.
Yeah, you know, with her, but like what you're saying, we've been family, we've been talking about that, and because my brother-in-law and I, when he was alive, we had a lot over there in Long Beach where, man, we had everything. We had cabbage, lettuce, you know, potatoes, tomatoes, man, and collard greens and mustard greens. He had, and squash and stuff, you know. And so we still own that lot. And so there's nothing on it. And then he had a bunch of fruit trees put on there, plum tree, tangerine, and peach tree, you know, and it don't half get watered now because I'm not over there, you know, to take care of it, but it still blooms up, you know, just without being watered, man, every year that nectarine just falling over with nectarines on the tree. You have to go over there and try to get the neighbors to come pick them off. But, you know, stuff like that, like you're saying, we're trying to get as self-sufficient as we can. And I think one mistake I made now, one time when Ralph's was the sheriff's department was off and you turned in old firearms, whether they were working or not. And I didn't realize, but I searched around there and I ended up at 7 guns and I didn't even realize I had them, you know. And I thought, and that's when my daughter and the grandkids was coming up, and I don't know, in my mind something said, you need to get rid of those firearms because, you know, kids get inquisitive and they'll search. And I had a BB, good friend of mine, was a security, and he couldn't have a real firearm, so he had a fake one, and it looked real, though, it was a BB gun. And I had a real high up in the closet, and that was the only thing resembling a gun that I had around. And one evening we were in the den there playing, and my daughter Nicole, her middle grandson, he was like about 4 years old, man, he come walking in there waving this gun, man, and that freaked me out, and that's what made me get rid of him, because I say, now if that had been a real one, you know, him, I don't know how he managed to get up in the closet and find it, because this was the least likely place to store a weapon, but he found it, you know, so that freaked me out about having the real deal around. So those things I've been kind of debating. Now that they're grown, I can probably get me something, you know, because they know better now. But like what you're saying, I can see it happening with this regime in there now, especially the next 3 years. I mean, it's really bad, you know, because we got a fool in there, and that's what he is. He's a liar. He never tells the truth. And it is best to be prepared. So we, as a family unit, we all care on Willie Martin and them, you know, we all on the same page with Professor Rahl, is that you might have to look out for yourself, you know.
Well, you know, you have to be prepared to defend your home and defend for your life, as Malcolm said. Someone come to kill you, send them to the cemetery. And my point is that, you know, getting organized, education, and then, you mobilize, of course, and you educate yourselves to possibilities and try to encourage them to think about, you know, being more essential with their spending, being more conscious of what's going on in the world, and quit thinking that things are normal when they're not. And many people think they are. And that's why they always want you to send your kids back to school. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be doing that. Because, you know, they want you to think that things are under control. Mm-hmm. You understand? And it's not. It's out of control. And so I'm just saying that if the traditional way in which you get food, the traditional way in which you get aid, and, you know, you got to get an emergency kit. Emergency kits, you should have at least 2 or 3 of them, you understand, because you don't know how long you're going to be needing the kits, you know, and that's bandages, and that's antiseptics, and that's water, and that's other things, flashlights, satellite radio, all those type of things that you need. You see, people spend money on some damn things, man. Like they've argued about Barbie dolls, you know, which is good. I mean, you know, you want to give your kids a sense of, that, especially the young ones, you know, keep them together. You don't want them paranoid. But for the older ones, and you tell them, you know, don't get to the point that you rattle your whole family. But, you know, you're just taking precautions that you should have been taking all the time.
I was going to say that about when you talk about being prepared. If you were to ask someone about, did you get your earthquake, you know, kit? Mm-hmm. Probably less than 10% of the people would have it, so still not prepared. I'm going to switch real quick. I know you guys got the floor. I can't let things get by me. RealID .dmv.ca.gov. I went there, real simple, and you can fill out everything there. You know it's the law. May 2025 is when the RealID was coming into effect, so we all should have already had our RealID because that started, what, in 2020 or whatever it started, 5 years ago. So that's just another information for us to be on our JOB. We should all have it already, so we wouldn't be here. This has nothing to do with Trump because it was already on the books. But the RealID, Rico was absolutely right. When you go in, you need to have you have to have valid proof of a valid passport. And I think it's and or a certified birth certificate. They didn't say that. They just have them both listed. And then you have to have residency documents, one at least, a cell phone bill or a utility bill or a mortgage statement or a bank statement. So I do believe, as far as the RealID, Rego, it's either a valid passport or a certified birth certificate. I don't think it's both, but they don't have it written out like that. They have commas after each one. That's that. You guys have a RealID if you don't have that. Ernest, right? Is that your name?
Yes.
Okay. You said we, as in, you know, the United States, we, maybe Black folks, we have taken for granted many of our liberties that we have here. And you guys don't know me. I lived in a third world country for 3 years. So when we talk about poverty and things of that nature, we don't really know what it is in the United States until you've been in it and you've lived in it and you've been around. So the liberties caught me because when I think of the United States, when we talk about China is resisting, other countries resist, they have poverty there. And they understand how it works. They're okay being poor. They're okay not having. We have taken for granted, from my perspective here in the United States, we don't know how to live without toilet tissue. I know how to live without toilet tissue. We don't know how to take cold showers every single day if you have water to take it every single day. I know how to do that, not because I'm special or anything, but I've had exposure. So we take so much for granted. Having a meeting, you talked about having the families come together and to meet. That's really good if you can get them together. But then we have what's called generational differences. What is it? Baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, and ABC, and all the others. I know there's the ABC, I'm being silly. But you have all those differences in value system, exposure. How do you talk to a Gen X and a Gen Y and explain all of this? So there's all these components that are really difficult, and you have all these different priorities with people who are not informed. We're talking about African Americans who kind of are just living. They listen to that, which, like, you guys are more informed. But when you think about who do you listen to get your information about what's happening in the world, you know, that's super important. But that's based on who you value. I look at people who have morals. I don't tend to listen to folks who talk politics, because if they just talk politics and don't have a moral component, to me, it's worthless, because you got to think of moral, because you have to help feed people, keep people together, have social programs. And that's it. That's all. I just wanted to say good information. I was actually taking notes because I do that. But good points about being prepared, RealID. What else did you guys talk about? In other words, being proactive about what's going on. You talk about putting money away, etc. I don't know how you do that. I know it worked way back when Black folks kept money in underneath their mattress. And then when they had the Great Depression, they were the ones who were able to buy cars because they didn't have their money in banks. So I don't know how we take our dollars and put it somewhere and get hold of it, because I don't know how to do that. That's it. That's all.
Let me respond to a couple of things you said.
Sure.
The first thing is that your children, they can be Gen Zs and they can be whatever generational name they give them. Mm-hmm. All they want on the outside the home. But in the home, they're your children and they're your family, and your leadership establish that. That's why they say you in biblical texts, you know, you may be in the world but not of the world. Mm-hmm. And so you don't let you know you can go out and talk hip hop to your friends, but when you come home to your mom and daddy, you have to sometimes respond to how you were raised and how you respect them, especially if they were good parents and strong parents. So I understand. I don't think that there's a generation gap at home. I think there's a generation gap in the streets when kids do what they want to do when they're not. But the mark of a good kid is not just how they act when they're at home, it's how they act when you're not around. And there's some kids that still have the discipline that their parents gave them, and they don't have tattoos, they don't drink, they don't use drugs. Some may be religious or whatever, but at the same time, there are some young people that way. But if you let your kids get out of hand, where they talk to you like you are a teenager or a GNC and things of this nature, and you got to check them right away, you know. And that's why I say that you educate yourself from the standpoint that I taught parenting, and that so many parents, they didn't even know what the certain drugs that were out. You know, they were used to the drugs when they were coming up.
Right.
They didn't even know. I mean, their kids be getting high right in front of them. They didn't know what gang talk was. When somebody said cuz, or someone say blood, or someone say, that's my homie, I'll put that on my set, and all that. They didn't know that was gang talk. They didn't know a lot of that because they're in that circle. So you have to educate yourself. Of course, I agree with you that you have to respect their individuality from standpoint, but you always let them know that you are their parent and you are the head of the household, and they're your children. I don't care how old they are. You know, they can have all the degrees they want, but the first person that got a degree got it from someone that didn't have it, one. And second, that common sense always trump academic preparation. Personal experience always. Like you said, you lived in those countries. You lived it. That's personal experience. That's nothing you read in a book. You understand? So you know how to do these things. And that's so that gives you a sense of battlefield being tested. But when I'm 70, I'll be 77 this year in a couple of days. I tell my kids in a minute, I say, look, man, I'm 20, 30 years older than you. You understand? You know, you don't think that means nothing, but I have experience. You understand? And I'm not going to surrender my role as a parent because you think that you know more than me because you know how to work a computer or you know how to deal with TikTok and know how to do all these things with computers. Because, all that stuff can go down. You know, all that stuff can break down. All that stuff you may not be able to use if there's no electricity and things of this nature. And that's why, as Machinda was saying, you know, hey, we growing our food, but now we got to get non-perishable items and know how to store them. And not that you need them right away, but just in case down the road. You got to get your emergency kits, as you brought up, your earthquake things. And like you said, less than 10%. So we got to raise that, even if it's just among the family. You say, hey, look, you can't get the world to do what you say, but you should be able to encourage the people that you fed, that you got through school, that you took care of, you bought them things without them asking, you helped them get a car without them getting to ask them. There was always something in the refrigerator. You let their friends come over and things of this nature. I mean, there's a certain amount of respect that you're gonna have to demand of your children at all times, no matter how old they are. Your kids grown, they can't come in the house, I F you, but hey man, this is, you know, I'm still your parent. I don't cuss in my house. You can't. You understand, man? What's wrong with you? You know, I mean, you know, if you don't want to come over here, that's fine. But you can't come here talking hip hop and talking bebop and all that type of stuff. You know, Scott, you know, we talk family talk here. And so that's why Ernest, and I'm pretty sure you, Reginald, are disciplined. You're men of discipline. And that's very critical in these
times. I wasn't there.
Today.
My parents was like in the 80s and 90s, my dad, I wouldn't dare say a bad word to him. You know,
got that right.
No derogatory crap. Yeah.
Okay. And you got to know the new forms of bad words. Yeah. You understand? They're not profanity, but they're just words that mean the same thing as profanity that these young people then picked up. So you have to try to pay attention to, you know, what they're doing, what they're saying, and what's going on, and educate yourself. Read books on it and things of that nature, language and things of that nature. Getting back to this preparation, we have to stay in physical shape too. You know, that's very important. You got to do more walking and more exercising and eating better to be prepared for a long journey in case you have to walk. You understand? In case you have to run or something. And you have to be, you know, as best you can. As age gets to, you know, you naturally get weaker. But at the same time, you try to stay as strong as you can by being mentally, spiritually, and physically healthy. You understand? That means that you think clearly on each of them levels and you practice those things. I saw parents, I say, you know, it's hard to raise children when you're out of shape. You understand? I'm going to beat your ass in the morning. Well, hey, you know, I'm too tired tonight. You understand? You know, I'm going to deal with the prop thing. We're going to work this out tomorrow because, you know, you're on my nerve. You understand? No, get it, nip it in the bud by being in mental, physical, and spiritual shape. All right. Anybody else have any other response?
You didn't ask Linda.
I don't know if she's still on. Linda, you still there? She's out there in Florida. Yes, she is.
No, I'm here. I was just trying to unmute my phone. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Do you have any comments?
No, everything you already covered, I mean, everybody, and I agree with everybody. And the only thing I could only add to what you were saying is we already prepared as much as possible here in Florida because, you know, we have hurricanes all the time. So me said my house, I always try to stay prepared. And then, like Rasha Keith was saying about the vegetables and growing your own food, sis, I agree with that 1,000%. So, and everything else has been said, but I need to be more prepared. And I'm glad that you all brought up about the driver's license because that's one thing I had not done. But I will be on top of that now.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I mean. Right. I mean, the brother's right, you know. We got to get on a lot of things that we haven't done, but Linda, I was in Florida years ago, and the houses were on stilts almost, like, you know, for flood, yes. You know. Mm-hmm. The houses sit up off the ground.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if they still have them like that, and I'm pretty sure they do. In Louisiana, they had them like that, Machinda, because of the floods and because of the different forms of weather that they have down there. You know, but the point is that we are in different geographical areas. There are different preparations you have to have for different type of situations. But the situation we're talking about is a chaotic situation everywhere. You understand? Not just a weather, natural.
Yeah, I truly understand, yeah.
We have to, you know, we're talking about them implementing martial law. You understand? And things like that. So it's a struggle. And we don't want to think like that. People just want to live and hope that things don't happen that they can't handle. But life is unpredictable. You know, I mean, you know, you go to the doctor and they tell you you got cancer. You say, but I feel good. Oh, damn, you know, things happen. And so you got to understand it's the unexpected things that come up that you're not prepared for. Why they call them accidents. All right. So, Rasha, do you have any other comments? Russia Key?
No, I don't. I'm just it's just a reinforcement for some things that I'm starting to put in place. So it's a good thing that this topic came up tonight. It's a real good thing.
Yeah, because I mean, look, as you sit around and you listen to the various outlets where you get your information from, they suggest these things to you indirectly and directly by letting you know how chaotic things are getting and out of control things are getting. They say, we never had a president like this. We never had a party that wouldn't help, that wouldn't stand up for the Constitution. Well, they never really practiced the Constitution with people of color. You understand, for the most part. I mean, you wouldn't have the various form Dred Scott and all the other historical rulings by the Supreme Court, five fingers and but separated and all that type of stuff. Separate but equal and all those type of things. Yeah, I mean, they institutionalized their behavior, and these are people that attack themselves. The Civil War was white people fighting white people. You know, you understand? The German War with the Jews, white people fighting white people. Well, you know, I want you to understand. Now, I'm not saying they didn't have a war with Japan and have war in Africa and in the Middle East, but at the main time, some of the biggest wars was with themselves, the most destructive. And what killed the majority of white people was white people. You understand? So you know if they'll kill themselves, what they think about you. You understand? You're expendable. You understand? But people don't see it like that. They, as Joe Hemrick would say, they're under the illusion of inclusion. You know, and they see themselves, you know, military people who served this country really did out of the goodness out of their heart. They were drafted some. Some were joined for different reasons. But, you know, when you go in the military, you saying, I'll die for you. Is that correct, Brother Ernest?
Yeah.
You know,
you have no choice. They come and drafted you. Either go to Canada or suck it up for 2 or 3 years, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, white kids did in the
70s. A lot of them, yeah.
They got attorneys. They went to Canada. That's why they gave them immunity.
Right.
Nixon gave them all the immunity. You remember that?
Yeah.
When it said the kids that had fled to keep from going to the army, you can come home now. Yeah. You understand? Yeah, but they made Ali pay a price.
Right, yeah.
You understand? Yeah. You know, it's different. So from that standpoint, he, you still there?
Yes, I am, Professor. You right on point.
Do you have any more comments?
I do. Want to say you right on point, and you know, I'm working to do my thing too, of being prepared. But you know, these people have been pushing this narrative, this militia thing, ever since Ronald Reagan, and what's his name? Jimmy Carter was in office before him, and he was trying to come a little bit more humane and inclusive after Nixon had embarrassed the Republican Party. Ronald Reagan came in, and it was like he had all the movie stars. Remember Charlton Heston was talking about you can have the gun when you pull it out my cold dead hand, and all that kind of stuff. That's when the NRA really started flexing. And the so-called the evangelicals were calling themselves the moral majority, and everything was pointed toward that, was a trajectory toward where we are now. And having worked around these people who their primary conversations are guns, hunting, survival, out in the woods type of deal, this is something that they have. Sort of like what Tupac did. Tupac just made himself be murdered. Just he prophesized it, and then he did foolish things. He was murdered. And that's what these militia people have been prophesizing, and they are really behind this idiot in spite of what he says he's going to do for them, as long as it gets to their ultimate goal, which is, I don't know, who are they going to be pointing the guns at? But this is what these people have been waiting for.
Yeah, you know, they train. There's certain groups out there training in the woods, and you know they got the money to buy the bullets, to shoot and practice the shooting and practice living survival. How to make it if you have to live off the grid, and you know when you're in the military, you learn that as some of you all have said. You learn how to make it, eat, the best way you can. And you learn how to get water from certain plants. You learn certain survival skills and developmental skills on sea, in the air, and abroad. And so we have to begin to prepare mentally and physically for the unexpected. And, I'm not saying we need to go out in the woods and things of this nature, but we need to be prepared to survive and maintain ourselves in an urban setting if we're going to stay here. And we need to train. We always need to train. You understand? I mean, get in physical shape. First thing the Army do is get you in physical shape. You understand? Run, 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 run. March, 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 march. Get up at 4 a.m, you know, have your boots shine, all that type of stuff. Learn discipline. And I tell my daughters who have sons, I say, you have to raise your sons like they are endangered species, as Chiwanza Kanjufu would say, and that they're in a struggle as Black people in this country. Most of us do not, as Reggie was saying, like we don't have emergency kits. We do not talk about the struggles of being Black in America with our kids. You know, so many of them go try to get jobs and they don't get it. They just think they didn't get it because, you know, somebody else got it that knew somebody, or that people were better than them. They didn't have enough experience. They don't know that they sometimes mark applications that this is a Black person, or that they don't want you in this type of area as employment and things of this nature. They're naive to a certain degree about the viciousness of this country, and that is practice of discrimination in technological, scientific, and cyber ways. Now it's not as physical as it used to be, but they know how to do it with AI. They know how to do it in different ways, in different practices. And so we have to educate our children to those things. I mean, even preparing them to go to school, that's the secondary education. The true education is life. And, you know, life will teach you, you understand, the most critical things, you know, about death, about illness, about poorness. As he said, when he was in other countries, people learn how to make it by being poor, and some of these people are like there's certain countries don't even have mailmen. You know, the mail's not delivered. You understand? There's a lot of countries don't have post offices, and we don't talk about those things with our children and things of this nature. All right. Reggie, you have anything else you want to comment on?
Oh, no, this is great. Good. This is very, thank you for the stimulation. I appreciate that. And I loved your focus on exercise. Yeah, I think that Rico should have a podcast on exercising for seniors. And and that's, I'm a senior too. Yeah. I'm in my 7th year, so I'm a senior as well. But they should have a nice podcast on how do we really exercise, and Rico should do something on eating healthy choices. So there you go. That's
Reggie, we want to thank you for coming in. What part of the town you live in?
I'm in West Los Angeles.
Wow. That's upscale.
A little bit. Yeah, thanks to my parents.
Yeah. Yeah, so did you go to school out here?
I did my graduate work out here. I went to school in Willamette in Salem and Washington State. And then then I lived abroad and went to school in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But did you do any college out here?
I did. I did my graduate work at Cal State LA and my doctorate stuff there as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Nothing big.
All right. Well, welcome. We hope you keep tuning in. And
oh yeah, this is great. I'm always interested. So that's
all right then. How'd you find out about the show?
Rigo told me.
Okay, then good. Rasha Key. We hope we keep you on the line, brother. Yeah. And if you have a topic that you think we need to discuss, let us know. Okay. And if you want to lead the topic, let us know.
That's scary. Yeah, that's good. All right. I'm not as spontaneous as you are. you can talk off the top of your head. I would have to prepare for 6 weeks.
Man. It's just experience, man. Experience, man.
Yeah, you can tell you were a former professor. Always a professor, but a former.
Yeah. Hey, Rasha Key, you going to tell them about next Tuesday. We're going to have Reginald Muhammad, and he's going to talk about the resurgence of Pan-Africanism on the continent of Africa. You know, there have been 6 congresses on Pan-Africans. One of them was led by W.E.B. Du Bois, and what Pan-Africanism is and what it means and why we should be aware of what we mean when we say Pan. Pan just means all. And our people must deal with Black people in diaspora. We look at those in Brazil, those in Cuba, those Afro-Cubans, Afro-Native American, Afro-this. But they're going to talk about that, Brother Reginald Muhammad. He's a reparation man himself, but he also may have another guest to speak with him. Go ahead, Rasha Key.
Yeah, next week on Wednesday, I have a young African-American entrepreneur coming on, young lady, that has a few businesses in Compton. Mm-hmm. So that's what's supposed to happen next week.
And, All right, then.
All right, so we appreciate everyone attending this evening. We're going to take our pause, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Continue to have a good day.
All right, then.
Okay, bye-bye.